meeting of Parliament, Monday the 12th of August 2019, order of proceedings, suspension of standing orders. The Honourable the Chief Minister. I beg to move on to standing orders number 3, to suspend standing orders number 1, in order to proceed with the laying of regulations on the table. Those in favour? Those against? Carried. This is the honour to lay on the table the Integrated Tariff Amendment number 2 regulations for 2019. Order to lay. Government motion. The Honourable Minister. I have the honour to move the motion standing in my name, which reads as follows. I hereby give notice on the standing order number 59 to proceed with the suspension of standing order number 19 in order to proceed with government motion. Those in favour? Those against? Carried. The Honourable the Chief Minister. Speaker, I have the honour to move the motion standing in my name, which reads as follows. This House confers the Gibraltar Medallion of Honour upon various individuals named hereunder for the respective following achievements, namely, the services to culture outside of Gibraltar, to Mr. Carol Marcy John, who has excelled outside Gibraltar in the field of music as a conductor, for public service to Mrs. Eliza Ferris, a posthumous award of a pro-Gibraltar campaigner in London in the 1960s, who stood for election to the House of Commons against the then Foreign Secretary Michael Stewart to promote Gibraltar's cause. To Mrs. Karen Prescott, the first Gibraltarian woman judge, and to Mr. Lewis Priority, the services to politics, the law, and saving to the Sport General. It is an honour to have the opportunity as Leader of the House to be able to propose the recognition of great work done by Gibraltarians that raises the profile of Gibraltar outside of this jurisdiction, or indeed that adds to the cultural life of Gibraltar inside and outside of our own community. And speaking to the first of the nominees, Carol Mark John, who is only a year older than I am, and I often had an opportunity to hear him tinkling the ivory in the Bayside School music room at the time that he was also a much more gifted music student there than I was. And Carol has really taken the name of Gibraltar around the world and put up in the collective consciousness of those in the world of classical music who might not otherwise have Gibraltar on their radar. And I think the talent that this man has is being recognized outside of Gibraltar. I know that sometimes bring orchestras to Gibraltar and they are conducted by people other than Carol. John, that is unfortunate because an orchestra performs with a conductor that it has been helped with. But otherwise, the old Carol Marcy John would be an excellent choice to conduct any orchestra. And that has been demonstrated by his work in New York, his work all over Europe, and indeed getting Gibraltar's name out there for reasons which are not political. Often Gibraltar is just in the international headlines for political reasons. And that's a very good thing because we put the political argument in respect of Gibraltar as strong internationally. But it's also important that we can see and hear about the Gibraltar for reasons unrelated to politics. This is a lighter sheriff, I think, that recently come back into the public consciousness as we have looked back at what was happening in the 1960s, as we had cause to either celebrate or commemorate the specifics of some things that happened in those years, both the celebration of the 50th anniversary of the referendum, and we are now embarked on the commemoration of the sacrifice made as a result of the closure of the frontier. There was a lot of political activity outside of Gibraltar then. The Honourable father of the House, Joe Bassano, started really agitating outside Elijah to walk around that time. There were many others, and Elijah Smith was one of those who was doing that work in the United Kingdom, in London at the time. And the Deputy Minister was the archivist who noted the work that he had done. They raised the public prominence in the course for the course of the last couple of years. And it was actually a president who could nominate them posthumously, unfortunately. And I'm sorry to say posthumously, because became the first woman judge of the Supreme Court of Gibraltar, and she has been recognized for doing an outstanding work in that role without fear or failure. And so often when I read what's happening beyond Gibraltar and indeed beyond the United Kingdom, although we might have views about what's happening in the United Kingdom, but when you look at what's happening beyond the United Kingdom, close to us, in Spain, in other European jurisdictions, and even in the United States, where judges are appointed politically, you get a sense that the sort of justice that is dispensed in these cases has more to do with who you are and what your ideology is, rather than what the merit of your case might be. And our judges, and the United Kingdom, the judges of the school that we belong to, would never make a decision about anything other than based on the merits of what is before them. We may or may not agree on their legal interpretation, but they make judgments based on the merits of the case that are before them. And the government, indeed, the government in the guise of the Crown, is just one other party in the context of a newly established principle of the rule of law. We're very lucky to keep in mind it. A woman judge in Gibraltar who is Gibraltarian, one of ours, who has demonstrated her ability in this particular field of the press, of the role that she's taken in judgment, as Catherine Dudley, the justice who is also recognized by the House for the work that she has done. And it is now the appointment of three more Gibraltarians to the bench in the Supreme Court of Gibraltar. All of them, everything we you know, will judge horizontally, one against the other in matters related to civil disputes, will be perfectly in agreeing by or against the state, exactly in the same way and without fear of favor of one party or another. And so, thank you for that, we make a deal. It's so important and so important that for me, Mr. Speaker, it is one of the key criteria why this community is never part under the sovereignty and control of any other sovereign other than the British sovereign, the crown in right of the majesty in right of the government of Gibraltar. Because only the United Kingdom and in Gibraltar, and indeed in the overseas policy generally, do we have those guarantees. And in Gibraltar, this woman, Carolyn McCaffrey, is one of the leaders of delivering that principle of the rule of law and equality before the law, which comes from as long ago as Magna Carta and the Congress of the Law. Because Rich Duncan is a member of this House for many years, and I have no doubt that I would have disagreed with much of what he said in this place, and agreed with a lot of it too. But he is a man who gave service to politics in a previous generation, who then continued to give service to his community in the law. He is one of the pioneers and the publishers of what we now call our financial services center. He's one of the people who really saw those opportunities in the 60s and 70s. When Gibraltar was really working into the need to have a local economy beyond the shores of this very jurisdiction. And indeed, in his chosen sport of sailing, he has continued to excel even now in advanced age. And his recognition, I think, must be just not just in respect to sailing, but for sport generally, because of the work that he's done. In promoting the sport beyond the world, but not just in his own chosen sport of Australia. So, this is one of the people who has friendship across the political divide or living in the one position or another. He's always been a person who has been friendly to all, well known to all, volume of all that money. And of course, that is why the government has, since the beginning of our period in office, invited the general public and indeed organizations to propose to us who should be the recipients of these medallions. We've got a number of the citizens of our family who don't live in this house. And indeed, we have received a lot of nominations. Not all of them have made it into the list, but all of those who are on the list have been nominated to the government by different entities or organizations or individuals. And I can also say that since I have been a member, which is also honored for, which is really good, honors, state honors in the United Kingdom, and I measure that as a keeping a list of names that the honors board itself could not be nominated for state honor, or indeed where those nominations have not prospered, to ensure that those names that were brought to this house were appropriate for nomination in this house by the government for those honors, and the list is revealed now and the next list contains names also from the honors board that have either prospered in respect of those honors, but could also be recognized by way of honor by the community, or have not been recognized by way of state honor, but it would like to be recognized by the community. So this is before the House now for the Medallion of Honor, and indeed the list of these coming in estimation have been compiled on that list in the list of nominations received from the Chief of Government. I now propose the question in the terms of a motion moved by the Honourable Opposition. The Honourable Leader of the Opposition. We echo and support the motion. It's clearly right that we risk in this as our support for those who have made these contributions to our community. And it's right that we have honours such as these and are bestowed on individuals who have made a huge contribution in their particular areas. So we will join the Chief Minister in welcoming the honourable members for the question comments.
The Honourable Mandela has gone on.
Mr. Speaker, for my part, I would like to endorse government and thank them for selecting these individuals into worthy recipients for the Medallion of Honour. It is important for our society to recognise great achievements and mark them in history for the future of our community. When talking about Karaj, a man with so many musical talents, he was inspired and continues to inspire children, adults, and newcomers to music and music lovers. A man who seems to also a stunning name across the world wherever he goes. Mr. Speaker, with regard to Louis Trier, a man who has served the legal profession for over 6 decades or more, I believe, a man who has served in politics. A man who has been very active in the sporting profession, and is someone who deserves nothing less. When we talk about the women who have received this honor today, and I'm the sheriff, sad that it has been a posthumous award. It's a woman who stands out for her work in the 60s, when women barely left the house, let alone fight for the cause in politics, and then women fighting for the politics abroad. That must have taken quite a bit of conviction, Mr. Speaker, and as I say, it is sad that it's a posthumous award, but it makes them never, as they say. Clarence Prescott, another worthy recipient, a woman judge who would give inspiration to women in the voter who would be aware that they can now reach great heights as much as their male counterparts. Mr. Speaker, I take this opportunity to remind Parliament and the people of the voter that there is not enough recognition for the women in our society. There's many deaths, accolades, and memorials for women out there, and I think that it's a good move for government to have chosen 2 women within these 4 recipients today and continue to take tribute to the women who have served and continue to serve in our community so that they receive no less than their male counterparts in our community. Thank you.
Honourable member wishes to speak on the motion. The Honourable Edmund Reyes.
Speaker, may I be for the formal record and perhaps for my statement in full detail on your way to the focus on upon the mentorship. And it's a very good question for me now. I do respect my niece Elizabeth Kelly. I know she passed away recently and so. And she always kept using that amazing technology that also carries. But it doesn't always seem that it has been cited as a next layer of the business. It's just that, you know, writing and also feeling that it's still around. I don't want to put more design more long ago, but I'm right, I mean, it's been around. So, if the time to come around to the terminal, so on, we should get it. I see that emotion that, you know, normally referred to, like, if I was still, you know, put the certificate and still fit the way they were registered in the way they fit. You have to get this at least as many copies later. You know, the call-out that you need to have, and you need to get this new call-out to do this. Yes. Sorry.
Done by
the imagery and the then suffering outline association. We might not agree that that is a way with today would be appropriate to label a woman acting in concert to support the political work of the community, and they are likely that today we would want that is the women doing it because the absolutely overdue integration part of the work of men and women in politics. But that work has already been recognized at the time of their anniversary. There was a lot going on, and it was not just men who were doing that work, there were women fully involved in absolutely all the groups who recognized that. And as we move forward in analyzing both our history and our contemporary life, we must ensure that we bring that gender neutrality, that gender balance to everything that we do, wherever it is possible to do so. And in some instances, it may not be possible to do so, but we should certainly strive to achieve that. And I think in this particular moment, we should be able to do so as we give the highest distinction that this community is for.
Put a question in terms of the most and most priority to yourself. I was in favor. How did you get out of the Honourable, the Chief Minister. The Speaker, I have the honour to move the motion standing in my name, which reads as follows. This House resolves to bestow the Gibraltar Medallion of Distinction upon the various individuals named thereunder for their respective following achievements, namely, the Services for Education, Robert Albert Stoughton, and Mrs. Hopkins Award, Mrs. Maria Beretta Stoughton, Mrs. Julie Gallagher, Mrs. Janet Davidson, Harrison for the private security work, Mr. Joe Cortez, Mr. Joseph Cortez, as he used for the Mrs. Jettini, Mr. Patricia Grabstead, sorry, Jenny Massetti, Mrs. Patricia Grabstead, Mr. Charles Cusatis, the Services for Promoting Europe and Communication, Mr. Alvaro Nino and Mr. Ivan Nava, Services for Promoting Gibraltar Abroad, Mr. David Bastin, the United States of America, Mr. David Wilson, the United States of America, and Mr. Mohammed Yassin, student from Morocco, the charitable work, Ms. Emily Evan-Berry, the frontman, Mr. Mariluda Vegas, the Gibraltar Sound, Mr. Kishin Alwani, for the Alliance Charitable Trust, and Junior Salvador Cavalli, the President Charitable Surgery, Mrs. Rosanna Olivares, for multiple charitable studies, Mr. Mesh Crawford, for cancer charity, Mr. Manasala, for cancer charity, Mrs. Anne Green, for Childline Gibraltar, Mrs. Nathaniel Temple, for work with the Alzheimer's and dementia patients and families in Gibraltar, Mr. Alfred Medina, of the Ivanhoe Society and Charitable Causes, Mr. Hugo Bond, the Multiple Association of Societies, and Mr. Joe Piara, with St. John's Ambulance, the Services of Health, Mrs. Janet Lowens, Mrs. Susan Vallejo, Mr. Anthony Kevin Surfitt, and Dr. Adolfo Donald Bacchus Hamilton. Welcome to our environment and quality of life, Dr. Peter Tiffany Strong and Mrs. Janet Halkin, BCFG. The Services for Culture, Mr. David Melfield of the Polish National Ballet, Mr. Joseph Pepe-Sorani, also of the Lyrics of Jerome and Menachie, Mr. Freddy Ryman, President of the National Ballet, Sporting the Award, Mr. John Greff, the Patron of Services in the Hall, Mr. Stephen Sayer, for Opera and Charitable Endeavors. Mr. Gibraltar Reenactment Society, Mr. Donald Evans, the Major Minister of Gibraltar, Mr. John Boudet, the Photographer, Mr. Gladys Edmonds, the former Commissioner of Showtime in Gibraltar, Mr. Mary Susan Macy, the former Commissioner of Showtime in Gibraltar, and Mr. Martin Lewis of the CAD. The Services for Tourism, Mr. William Picotti, the Village Sister of the South, Mr. Stephen Geller of Chester's Aviation Management. For Public Service, the Honourable John Caplana for Public Service and Government Rehabilitation, Mr. Jack Noble, the Chairman of Royal Engineer Association to Gibraltar Branch, Mr. Stephen Coomer, the Superior of the Court Services of Land Rover, the King Rover in the Court, Mr. Esther Boyman, the CCW, the ACR, Mr. Lyons, and Mr. Diabetic Association and Cattle Treatment, Mr. Dennis Ferguson, the Portland Hospital, the Walter Fulmer Clark, and the State House of Defense, Mrs. Ida Goldwyn, for the Holy Trinity Diocese of Gibraltar in Europe and the local communities, Mr. Gilbert, Joseph, whatever the name is, for the contribution to Holy Trinity, all the gifts will be in the world to be distributed. I guess my things is to walk upon the page, Mr. Jordan Burton, for walking down to the water. Mr. Mary Booker, the director of London, Mr. Mary Gates, the former chief technical officer and public service committee member, Mr. Andrew Mazzari, the chief technical officer, Mr. John Gallagher, former managing director of Land Public Service Limited, Mr. Peter Matalisa, the chief of politics, the law, financial services, gaming, the University of Gibraltar, and the Gibraltar International Bank. Mr. Matalisa, the Carrera, the Carrera, the financial services, gaming, the University of Gibraltar, and the Gibraltar International Bank. For law, financial services, gaming, and Gibraltar International Bank. Mr. Albert Lansky, the Gibraltar International Bank. Mr. Victor Taylor, the trade union movement. Mr. Alistair Young, the former speaker and president of the English Movement. Mr. Alan Greasy, the Morgan Community Association. Mr. Paul Scholz, the Broadcast Services, Journalism, and International Relations. Mr. Dean Palmetto, for services of the Secretary of the Ministry. Mr. Christian Clifford Tyler, for Broadcast Journalism. Mr. Mr. Manuel Gris, the senior activist. Mr. James Roberts, and the producer of the services for the aviation industry. Mr. Alice Mascarenhas, the broadcast and written journalism. Mr. Francis Perry, the government and other work, in particular work for the government, including government and individual economies. The services of support, Mr. Anthony Hossein in Montreal, Mr. Peter Conrad in Montreal, Mr. Francis Perry in the letters. Mr. Alvarez in Ryan Game, and Mr. Lee Henry Castellano in Brooklyn. Mr. Speaker, these names will be displayed with the agreement of the House in which we secured for the Gibraltar Medallion of Distinction. I will be moving an amendment, Mr. Speaker, in respect of the first part of the motion to include the certificate of signs and also in the list of those providing personal communication. The House will note that apart from Stuart Harrison, who is recognized for the work of the Defense of Private Security, all the others are recognized for their work as Defense of Security. And Mr. Kenny Fires is exactly tied as our Deputy Teacher. And so I think that was the position we said at the last time that we presented this meeting, that we wanted to recognize the fame of the Walter School. And Mr. Kenny Fires, I think, is the last one to have retired, and that will therefore bring us to the end of the time. I will give you the note of the inclusion of the name in the next week. Can I then break this up? I formally move that Mr. Kennedy be included in the section of for services to education as the retired Deputy Chairman is not being included in this particular chapter. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The amendment is carried. I'm very grateful for that, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. update on it. That's the reason why this is also lengthy, because there is that question coming up. We're recognizing that this is a separate site some time ago, and as we try and ensure that we cover all those who provide that service, we are recognizing that we have undertaken charitable endeavors in a way that in some instances has already been recognized by state governments in the UK, and some instances has not, but it is right that this has been recognized by this house also. And the good news to me is to catch up with this stuff, it means to think back to those who provide this service. And I once again call on people to continue the work that the community at large has done in proposing to the government to use names so that those, as I say, who have these recognitions definitely deserve it, but not all those who deserve it have it. And therefore, the government doesn't pretend to know everyone who deserves the recognition, so we must receive from the community as a whole the nominations for recognition by those who are doing the fantastic work that is going on in the background in our community. Sometimes causing to recognize the work that is done is as much a part of building a nation as the work that these individuals have done is a part of building the libertarian nation that we enjoy today. Because we believe on this issue may not be recognized by many of these names. Stephen Bella of Capital Aviation Limited. Stephen Bella may be known to some who were in the school with him, but if he really came to the government's attention, so he is the foremost designer of private aircraft in the world. And so those private Airbus 380s, private 747s, 757s, but he now has some things in California, it was done by a company called Capital Aviation. He owned that Capital Aviation in 2010. He moved to the United States after his engineering was funded by the Vulcan, the 70s, and the 80s. And very, very proud of his talent, and he was very, very, very proud of him. When the international superstar of the world was given by Brian Jones, that complex environment is incredibly valuable to him. So not only are we known as incredible people, we have a degree of incredible environment, even in the sky. And my apologies, I like that language made us be known to us. William Collins, the posthumous award of somebody who contributed greatly to the book, other things in this, I think I don't think it needed any particular introduction by the government, although I would say, because after a very successful time in Dillon, I'm very, very happy to recognize the leadership of the Island Dillon in this thing that Alan Lee was something that led to the success of the game, and it was not the case that the government has gone, and the government and the ESG agree. In most instances, the government and the ESG agree. On many things, in the Development Planning Commission, in the planning things before they get to the Development and Planning Commission, etc. So, the government is wrong, the government is wrong, and the government will agree to disagree. But the government is not recognized as an actual work that is done by God and by the ESG as a whole. They are led now by the ESG and Janet Towns, respectively, and it is right to let the recognize that excellent work that is done by those two particular NGOs by holding out their leadership for citizens and having spoken to technology. I know that was supposed to be we want to ensure that that recognition is extended to the whole of their organization. Given that we've got one of the former leaders in one here is the Minister for the Environment, I feel a whole house would like to review the recognition of the work that has been done by the two organizations is intended to be recognized by this house. Mr. Speaker, those who have contributed to the life of young libertarians in guiding and scouting are recognized, also to be again captured up with those who have not yet been recognized, and so there will be more names brought to the government's attention in the sense of guiding. been different with all chief ministers of Gibraltar, and we've also recognised that having put up with all of our foibles, with all of our late nights, and having gone above and beyond the call of duty and the discharge that has come from Very well.
I know that you would be extremely proud for the story of this woman, especially on his wife and the course and himself. Speaker, John Bodega and I from Perennes, both of the Chronicle and also BBC Radio, our national treasures, and I congratulate them both. Also, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to mention, because he was Speaker for two terms, Harry to be one, I think that something that is not only is it deserved, but I think that it has been done, and there's no criticism of anybody in relation to that statement, that perhaps it will be done at an earlier juncture. For somebody who has been Speaker for two terms, that he has been recognised in this way by this Parliament. I also want to mention as well Mrs. Hazel Chambers. Mrs. Hazel Chambers was HTO in my department, my HTO when I was the Minister for Justice, and she left from there to take on the position of CEO of the Delta Sports Service. I know how well she has been extremely hard working when she worked for me in the ministry. Very, very helpful. And if we succeeded during my time as Minister for Justice and Executive Legislation and dealing with the things that we did during that time, it was in large part due to the hard work of Hazel Chambers. And I congratulate her too. Mr. Speaker, also the team of Kristen Seiler and the team of Kristen Tucker, both who were members of the GDC, when certainly during the time that I was a member of this House and during my political career. And I know that there are other members who have been interviewed by the team of Kristen Seiler, who know that she was tremendously tough, that I believe fair and honest interviewer, and it was always a pleasure to be interviewed by her. And finally, Mr. Speaker, two men. Victor Flemmel, Victor is somebody that I worked very closely with when I was a government minister. We worked very, very well together. Left were together when it has to be said, when left were left to die with the opposition, but those are things that happen at St. Minister's Festival with the government of the day. We've had our good times and our bad times, our disagreements and the agreements, but I congratulate him. It's extremely well deserved for his many, many years in service to the trade union movement. And finally, Mr. Speaker, to my great friend, Clive Boyd. Clive, who was one of the best interviewers, one of the best holders of debate, dealing with the data that he was at GBC, fantastic journalist, editor of the New People for many years. Actually, on my contribution in relation to Clive, I want to apologize to him publicly for all those difficult moments that I made him go through when I was leader of the Labour Party and I used to contribute to the New People to the not so much the rights of members of the particular the father of the house. I remember one particular time when I think that we had between myself and others in the Labour Party, we have contributed about half of the New People, the other half was pro UFLP, one half pro Labour, the other half pro UFLP, and it was all before the UFLP advocacy. And we came back to the we had a drink, driving off for the Hill Ground before we said to me, can you look at us to let me know how long it's going to happen? And Mr. Speaker, on that note, I congratulate everybody for the very deserved award that the government has handed them.
Any other honourable member wish to speak on the motion? The Honourable John Cortez.
Mr. Speaker, I hesitated when I had to take a few out of the panel that I will think of something which will be very obvious to all of you. And as the, I think, third oldest member of the House, having had a number of different careers, it will not surprise members that I have first encountered as a state and a senior. I possibly have contact at different times of my life and my career with at least 77 of the people here, so I'm not going to talk about all of them, but just to reiterate my good wishes and my delight that people in health that have worked in the judiciary where for 7 years, you may recall the speaker, I was president of the Magic Association, the youth workers in the South, charities, culture, media, and in the public service. I won't go through all of them, but I will mention those of us who are in the area of my current political responsibility, clearly now with the chief minister have already assigned the president of Keith Bruce and Donald Harris, with whom I myself have also had this influence, but who worked so hard and worked together for the benefit of the environment, and as the Honourable Speaker has said, this is such an important, I think the most important aspect of our lives at the moment and for many years. And the hard work that members of NGOs do behind the scenes is difficult to understand unless you've been there, as I have been. And the delicate balance between campaigning but also wanting to devote it to your work and balancing one thing with the other is not easy to do. And I think these organizations, as indeed others, do them extremely well, and we need to be proud of them in the broader. Clearly, in education, what can I say about the work of teachers and the work of head teachers who are running organizations which are often bigger and done a lot of other organizations, but people don't realize the complexity of the work of the head teacher. I have, of course, to mention two in particular. I take a cue out of one of Mr. Pinson, who mentioned his sister Valerie for her excellent work in the world. I have, of course, have to mention and congratulate my brother Joe for all his work for many years as a head teacher and also as president of the Greater Teacher Association. I'm very pleased for him, of course, and for the family. So I have to mention one other person who was a mentor and who was almost a guardian for me in my first incarnation of the health service back in the 80s and 90s, that's Dame Barbara Hamilton. His contribution to health and devotion was extraordinary, and he is rightfully awarded this because he may have been forgotten by many, but those of us who work in health and veterans past owe him a great debt of gratitude. And we have the health service that we have today largely to the work that Don did during his time as director of medical and health services. I think that is all I have to say. I could mention a lot of others, but I just wanted to highlight those, Mr. Speaker.
Any other, the Honourable Gilbert Gulley?
Speaker, just one more addition to what the Chief Minister has already said. He mentioned that there are the Hamilton in the context of the work he does for the international event. I'd just like to add that Mr. Hamilton is also the chairman, the current chairman of the Board of Governors of the University of the Water, the position of which he is entirely on a voluntary basis with his clear advocacy and that interest is there for the university itself and for his right. So we can also recognize this legacy for his work for the university as well as for the Water National Bank.
I'd
like to echo many of the words of my honourable colleague, John O'Leary. Just before I turn to the speaker and maybe the question of checking, Mr. William Kearney was described as having passed away. I'm told that he was alive and kicking. Let me just correct the record for that.
Honourable Edmund Reyes.
In the list for charitable work, I think very fittingly we are about to approve the restoring of the award to the Senior Class Charitable Charity. I give a bit of people could come and be useful information, but what is my thinking when it comes to state time or whatever. Within the hierarchy of the ordained orders of the Catholic Church, the title of senior is given at two levels. One of them is those that are named honorary champions in the holding of the Pope, and those having the mantle of the very reverend. But there's a slightly higher figure, more prestigious one, which is those that become prelates of prelates of honor in the holding of the Pope, and those having the mantle of the right reverend. And some of the society frequently comes under company of the right reverend. So it could be something useful, especially in your future students who come out to search for it from prominent people tables. They might be interested to know that. So I would like to see Father Charles has been protecting the ministry to know so many of us having the correct title or right reverend. And then when I ask the committee that perhaps we can calculate in topic, we rightly nominate the Honourable Joseph Savona, because he's been a past member of his house, especially when we were known as the House of Assembly. There's also Stephen of the and I don't know whether he should study the same title as Joseph Savona of the Army, in fact, because they were elected members. And I don't know that rule would then equally apply to Harris Bugani, who, although not elected by the general election, was the Army's lead. Appointed by this house on two occasions, like my colleagues and the people have just said. The correct wording might be the honorable. It doesn't have to be covered up now. I think in this house, that's the point. That. And I'm not 100% certain, Mr. Speaker, but I think that Dr. Geraldine Simpson did receive an associate professorship recently, so he might be entitled to be known as Professor Geraldine Simpson. Rather than just simply Dr. Lassila, and also it's just that we don't think now that it allows the officials to get things right in a way.
I'll call on the member for the Prime, the Honourable Chief Minister. I'm grateful for the unanimity that has broken out across the House in supporting the procurement of the debate and the value of distinction by a nomination of the community. Speaker, I confirm that I too have been told that I confused my proposal, and so the name on the motion stands for description should not be relied upon. Mr. Speaker, the Honourable has given his son, Professor, going into the list, which I want to avoid, but I think it's worth saying that it's important that I should deal with the part that he has dealt with, and also with some parts which have my particular personal interest. Mr. Julie Canada, your wife at the University, you don't have to declare an interest, was. You don't have a very and you better know how you would have cost it. Otherwise, we'd be in trouble with Mrs. Canada, as I first came to know her as one of the teachers at St. Vernon's, with Mrs. Davidson, who was then the head mistress. Joseph Dez, my brother, has been my election agent, so we have him to blame for me being here, so I know that he can enjoy all your support and your strong support at typical political times. And other than even, Mr. Speaker, as I said on a number of occasions, the person who induced me to start for my skills in art, and then to continue to go down that road and start with the fact that it's important for what is French that I have. The reason for saying that, as well as a member of the led, is that we have a way to touch many of us in different ways, and so there are names in the group that might have been our teachers, that might have been our scout leaders, but in the case of the Honourable Lady, as my children also, a friend and faithful, the guy who drives back to work, and in my case, driving back from work, because I do try and keep the Honourable Member, the UFG, and gone, and my dietitian happy to work to work. So that's what the community is about, and these are the ways that touch us all. In different ways and in different measures. The Honourable Lady has said this is also the heritage of our community. In the cases where it's not possible, our lives and around us are worthy of recognition.
has retired. I remember her with affection, and I'm delighted that she is not going to be there at 1:30 to ask me the questions, although I will always be pleased that she asked one of the gentlemen at the time what he would do about the blocks, when he then told us that he would be happy to remove their blocks with spikes from BG to Bethel. That is how much of a good he was, and that's why I think we're both pleased that we can honor her in her retirement, Mr. Speaker, and Clive Gogg, who I think enjoys the affection of just about every member of this House, the father of the House, and him and me. In particular, the Deputy Commissioner and I met as a result of Clive Gogg's programme, so he's responsible for a lot. And I think people will recognize that in the annals of today's broadcast, the leading Gibraltarian interviewer of politicians and organizer of political debate, and not just the Gibraltarian politicians, but also a man who was ready to run across the frontier and put it in his camera in front of Fernando Moran, etc., in the broadcast sphere of Clive Gogg. And I think the Honourable Gentleman is going to do something which is longer than he did, which is to apologise on behalf of the party that he has led for the way that Clive Gogg was treated by them as a party. If he's done something, if he's done something for which he was responsible, it's just about the period of the Liberal Party for which he was responsible, rather than the period before that, which he was responsible for. But how exactly was said to Clive Gogg in this way? So the way that he was treated after 1996 was not existing in Australian democracy, and it would not have happened in another democracy. And he and I know that Clive Gogg was responsible for the things that I'm complaining about. But he and I know that Clive went through and was there, and Joe knows that Clive went through. It was a particularly difficult time, unbefitting the contribution that this man has made to Gibraltar. But it was also true that it was a lot of work for Clive Gogg, who had enjoyed working together and then working against each other in the context of the publication that the Honourable Gentleman referred to. I remember fantastic satirical work that put into that particular publication. I don't think it's a truth that in my head, Mr. Speaker. And it was right that we should be recognized. Mr. Speaker, I think that the Honourable Gentleman, Mr. Davis, is right to point us in the direction of fixing the nomenclature that we are using. And so I would invite Mr. Speaker that the House should allow us to amend by way of typographical slip the references to the Right Reverend before Charles de Bally, the inclusion of the professorship of Mr. Springfield, if that is appropriate and that can be kept, and the use of the term honourable in the context of all individuals who have been members of this House, then the government refers to Mr. Medellico and Mr. Medrani, if that is appropriate in keeping with the rules of the House. I do recall that when honourable members were the government, they changed the rule of how that nomenclature is used after one has left the House. It seems to be the case, or it was the case, and they changed it, I cannot remember it. So we had to write in and say, although I'm retired, may I just continue to use the term honourable? And I can't remember what they changed it so that you automatically use it if you do here as yours by the other. And I don't know which of those would apply to the individual because in some instances, as honourable gentlemen know, you have to count months to do the elections of course before the 4 years are up, etc., which is not likely to be the case during the course of the lifetime of this colleague, I might say, to the year 13 to then election crazy in the past 14 days. All I said is that the reform is coming shortly, and the Honourable Gentleman knows what the word shortly means in the context of this government. So, in terms of honourable, etc., I think I'll leave that to, if I can, to the clerk to check what the proper nomenclature is and to apply the split rule to it if that is appropriate. And, Speaker, I am very happy that these names are moving unanimously to be bestowed on behalf of the whole House of the Court in the government, which means they are richly deserved.
I now put the question in the terms of the motion moved by the Honourable Chief Minister. Those in favour? Those against? That is unanimous. The Honourable, the Minister for Tourism, Employment, Commercial and Aviation, and the Port.
Speaker, I have the honour to move the motion standing in my name, which reads as follows. I have it by the notice and the standing order number 59, the procedure of the special standing order number 19, towards the procedure of government motion.
In favour? Okay, carried.
I have the honor to move the motion standing in my name will be proposed. As this House approved by resolution, pursuant to Section 46 of the Social Security Open Long Term Benefit Scheme Act 1997, relating to the Social Security Open Long Term Benefit Scheme Amendment of Benefits Order 2019. Because this order seeks to amend the Social Security Act, as I have mentioned, by increasing the rate of older pension and provider benefits by 2.1% with effect from the 1st of August 2019, as it represents the annual increase for last year. This is in line with the budget for the budget of the business, and this year in the Chief Minister's address, and it's required by the Act to be increased by order, but prior to that order being published, there has to be a motion attending the mention of that order, and that is what is mentioned out. Speaker, I commend the motion to that.
I propose a question in terms of the motion made by the Honourable the Minister for Tourism, Employment, Commercial and Aviation, and the Port. Honourable Barry Clinton.
Thank you, Speaker. When you do the calculation, 2.195, I didn't quite get the same number, or the rounding that I'm not aware of, it doesn't appear.
The honourable member is right to find 2.1% to that figure again. To be taken to the point, but the family member is going to get up to the name of 5%.
I now put the question in the terms of the motion moved by the honourable the Minister for Tourism, Employment, Commercial Aviation, and the Port. Those in favour? Once again, carried. Bill, first and second reading. And bill for a map to give effect. Gibraltar, the Council of Europe Convention on Transfrontier Television, made in Strasbourg on the 5th of May 1989, and its amending protocol
adopted on the 7th of September 1998 in Strasbourg for the purpose of facilitating the transfrontier transmission and retransmission of television program services. The Honourable Deputy Chief Minister.
If I have the honour to move that a bill for the Act to give effect and to vote to the Council of Europe, the European Convention on Transatlantic Television made in Strasbourg on the 5th of May 1989 and its amending protocols adopted on the 9th of September 1998 in Strasbourg for the purpose of facilitating the transfrontier transmission and retransmission of television program services, be read a first time.
I now put the question, which is that a bill for an act to give effect and to vote over the Council of Europe European Convention on Transfrontier Television made in Strasbourg on the 5th of May 1989 and its amending protocol adopted on the 9th of September 1998 in Strasbourg for the purpose of facilitating the transfrontier transmission and retransmission of television program services be read a first time. Those in favour?
That the bill can now be read a second time. Mr. Speaker, this bill has come about in the context of our planned departure from the European Union in October. It has been stated by the government and it is as part of the government's Brexit contingency plan. The bill is done to enable the extension of the vote to the voter of the Council of Europe Convention on Transatlantic Television made in Strasbourg on the 5th of May. 1989, and its amending protocol. This convention has been identified by the United Kingdom as necessary for us and for them to mitigate the effects of a no-deal Brexit in this area. Mr. Speaker, the international legal framework that the EU provides across certain areas will be replaced where possible by that provided through international conventions. The Convention on Transatlantic Television therefore provides a legal framework for the free circulation of transfrontier television programs throughout Europe. It does fulfill the minimum common rule in fields of programming, advertising, sponsorship, and the protection of certain individual rights. Gibraltar, as a transmitting party, would have the task of ensuring that television program services transmitted are compliant with the requirements that set out in the bill and in turn with the provisions under the convention and its amending protocol. In return, freedom of reception of program services is guaranteed, as well as the retransmission of program services that comply with the minimum rules of the convention. The government's law officers have been working closely with the Sports and Regulation Authority and the UK Department for Media and Culture in this matter. The expert advice to the government that the voter needed to pass this legislation before every day is the United Kingdom's ratification of the convention and the first one is to be extended to voter by the 31st of October. Mr. Speaker, the bill comprises 9 parts. Part 1 contains the application of the bill. Part 2 establishes the competent authority for the purposes of the Act. The Gibraltar Regulatory Authority will be the competent authority in Gibraltar, and the powers to use that function are set out in this part. This includes the power of the GRA to request information for the purposes of performing the functions assigned to them under the Act. Clarity provisions only personally make force of misleading statements and general restrictions on disclosure of information. It empowers the GRA to issue directions and notices.
agreement is being contained the jurisdiction provision. If that does not satisfy the criteria for broadcasters who are under broadcast jurisdictions, and also those who are deemed to be under the jurisdiction of the broadcaster as the transmitting state. Part 4 uses broadcasting standards. Clause 14 ensures that in relation to all program services, no broadcaster under the broadcast jurisdiction shall prejudice the dignity of human beings or the fundamental rights of persons as guaranteed by our constitution. It is also a requirement that music broadcasters fairly, transcript, present past events and encourages the free formation of opinion. This clause sets out that broadcasters will be compliant with certain provisions of the Broadcasting Act 2005. This includes those provisions that prohibit broadcasting programs that will excite hatred and particularly seriously impair the physical, mental, or moral development of minors. Clause 15 sets out the duties of the Gibraltar Regulatory Authority to provide upon request and where appropriate information on broadcasting. Clause 16 to 20 deal with the broadcasting requirements in relation to advertising and telephoning. This includes the requirements as to the duration, permitted interactions during programs, the form and presentation of advertising and telephoning, and the advertising of particular products. Clause 21 deals with the rules of advertising and telephoning that are specifically and with some frequency directed to audiences in a single state party other than the voter. Clause 22 provides that certain provisions in the Broadcasting Act of Government Rights that deal with sponsored television programs also apply for the purposes of the convention. Clause 23 deals with the rules in relation to program services devoted to such promotion and telephoning. Clause 24 sets out how broadcasters will distribute European works. Mr. Speaker, Part 5 sets out the provisions relating to exclusive rights to major events and sports news reports. Clause 25 applies certain provisions of the Broadcasting Act 2012 to this Act. This deals with exclusive rights to major events. It is the requirement that the Minister with the responsibility for broadcasting to offer a list of designated events to consider to be of major importance. The Minister has power to describe how the events in that list are made available to broadcasters. This clause also sets out the duties and the manner in which the Minister with responsibility for broadcasting to comply with the guidelines of the Standing Committee established under Article 20 of the Convention. Clause 26 deals with sport news reports and establishes that the broadcaster under state party to this convention shall have access on a fair and non-discriminatory basis to sport news reports for events of high interest to the public, which are submitted on an exclusive basis by a broadcaster under the jurisdiction of the broadcaster. This clause also empowers the Broadcaster Regulatory Authority to issue guidelines relating to access conditions. Mr. Speaker, Part 6 deals with the right of reply. Clause 27 provides that the provisions under Section 39 of the Broadcasting Act 2012 on the right to reply shall also apply to broadcasters under this practice. This practice note that the obligations of broadcasters under the voting restriction under the Convention are parallel to those under the existing Audiovisual Media Services Directive. Part 7 deals with the regulation of broadcasting voter and guaranteeing their person's right to freedom of expression and information, also guaranteed under our Constitution. Part 8 deals with the exchange of information and assistance provisions under the Convention and with media pluralism. State parties under the Convention may make a request to the voter regulation authority to provide information about broadcasters of Gibraltar, as set out in Clause 91 of the Act. If this information is available, the Gibraltar Regulatory Authority has a duty to provide it. This part also deals with other cooperation measures requested by a competent authority of a fugitive state to the Gibraltar Regulatory Authority. This includes information on measures taken in the implementation of the Convention, or information on any difficulties that may have arisen from the application of the Convention. The Speaker, Part 9 is the final part within the Act. It contains miscellaneous provisions such as empowering the Gibraltar Regulatory Authority to issue codes of practice. It also sets out the power available to the Minister to make regulations under the Act. This part covers the relationship between the facts and the Gibraltar and the Broadcasting Act 2012 and other legislation in Gibraltar, and
the amendments to the Broadcasting Act 2012. Speaker, in essence, this time we are leaving the European Union. It is not what the voters voted for in 2016. It is also not the default direction of travel of the government or indeed the public house. Other directions for the United Kingdom and the voters will remain in the European Union. We need to prepare nonetheless. The time before the House is part of those preparations. It provides a framework to give effect to the voters to the Council of Europe Convention on Transfrontier Television, and is passed by this House in the coming to operation on exit day or on the day the convention is extended to the voters. I commend the vote for the House.
Before I put the question, if any honourable member would just be on the channel, please put on merits of this bill. Yes, the honourable leader of the opposition.
Speaker, we're grateful to the Deputy Minister and the statement on the bill. We of course support this bill as entirely.
The honourable member would just be on this bill. So we'll now put the question, which is that a bill for an act to give effect in Gibraltar to the Council of Europe European Convention on Transfrontier Television. Made in Strasbourg on the 5th of May 1989, and its amending protocol adopted on the 9th of September 1998 in Strasbourg for the purpose of facilitating the transfrontier stream transmission and retransmission of television program services be read a second time. Those in favour? Those against? Carried.
The Transfrontier Television Council of Europe 2019. I'd like to note that the committee stage and third reading of the bill be taken today if all honourable members agree.
Do all honourable members agree that the committee stage and third reading of the bill be taken today?
A bill for an act to amend the Environmental Protection Trees Act 2014. Making it a requirement to seek the written consent of the Development and Planning Commission before putting a tree that is not subject to a tree preservation order. Send a copy of the application for consent to the Minister and also make it an offence to willfully damage or destroy a tree that is not subject to such an order. The Honourable the Minister for the Environment, Energy, Climate Change and Education. I have the honour to move that a bill for the Environmental Protection Treaty Act 2014, making it a requirement to seek the written consent of the Development and Planning Commission before taking a treaty that is not subject to a tree preservation order, send a copy of the application for consent to the Minister, and to also make it an offence to willfully damage or destroy a tree that is not subject to such an order in red for the first time.
I now put a question to you, sir. The bill for an act from the Environmental Protection Treaty Act 2014, making it a requirement to seek the written consent of the Development and Planning Commission before topping a tree that is not subject to a tree preservation order, send a copy of the application for consent to the Minister, and to also make it an offence to willfully damage or destroy a tree that is not subject to such an order, be read a first time. Those in favour, be read a first time. Those in favour, those against, carried. The Environmental Protection Treaty Amendment Act 2019.
Speaker, I have the honour to move that the bill be now read a second time. Speaker, this is a small amendment, but I think an important one, which covers a gap in our tree protection legislation in that certain actions on trees, such as capping, for example, is cutting of the leading tree, which can destroy the tree's ability to recover, depending on the species, did not apply to trees that did not have a specific tree preservation order. It also requires the applicants to submit a copy of the application to the Ministry of Responsibility for Environment. This is current practice, but not required. This will allow the program experts to assess the tree and to work about the risk if such a necessary. It's a simple one, but I think it's in keeping with the current mood and moving the goals of the House and the trees and green areas. I think we've got a long way from showing that we keep which is written in the way of the film.
explain our principles and methods of this field? The Honourable Trevor Hammond. I'm the Speaker, the opposition will make certainties for the President. Every measure we take is important with respect to the preservation of trees. All too often we do see trees damaged, all too often we see trees removed. Sometimes that is done illegally through the department or through the appropriate panel. Not everybody always agrees with those removals, I do welcome, and we all welcome, anything that will obviously enhance the protection of trees, particularly those in the urban environment, because we have very few of them, relatively speaking. But obviously, trees in non-urban environments are equally important, and all legislation obviously makes sure that I'm very welcome. Yes, can I just ask the Honourable Minister by way of clarification explanation? Answer this. Of course, the position is supporting, and anything that we can do in order to protect trees, any of the things from this side, the government will find us supportive. But for example, somebody that may find only these old trees, lemon trees, and pull those old trees and lemon trees, we want those to be also planting a second tree in order to open them up so that you allow more light to go into the tree, all that kind of thing. What we also don't want is a situation where people have to then start writing to the DPC for that type of tree that we do for most of the year.
Okay,
thank
you. Mr. Speaker, this has been given a lot of focus today, specifically for checking, which is cutting the main branches to a cripple, that is, so to speak, but it does not prohibit pruning, crown raising, and so on, which can be carried out. Accessible with specific people that are in order, in which case they would have to go through the process. And I can reassure the Honourable Member that is not a problem. I would like to add in also coming up, Mr. Speaker, that there is a letter to you that is on the July in which there is an amendment to clause 3.3 by the African and that's my role again at Committee State. Nothing further to add, but I reassure the Honourable Member that is well covered.
I now put a question. The Department of Environment for an Environmental Protection Trees Act 2014, making it a requirement to seek the written consent of the Development and Planning Commission before chopping a tree that is not subject to a tree preservation order, send a copy of the application for consent to the Minister, and to also make it an offence to willfully damage or destroy a tree that is not subject to such an order to read a second time. In favour? Against? Carried?
Environmental Protection Trees Amendment Act 2019. Mr. Speaker, I beg to give notice that the committee says and says it on a very second today if all honourable members agree.
Do all honourable members agree that the committee says and says it on this presentation today?
Mr. Speaker, I have the honour to move that the House should resolve itself into committee to consider the following bills for by law. Only the Trans Conflict of the Legal Council of Europe 2019 and the Environmental Protection Treaty Amendment for 2019. Bill for an act to give effect in Gibraltar, the Council of Europe, the European
the Council of Europe European Convention on the Trans-Frontier Television, made in Strasbourg on the 5th of May 1989, and its amending protocol, adopted on the 9th of September 1998 in Strasbourg, for the purposes of facilitating the trans-frontier transmission and the retransmission of television program services. Part 1, clauses 1 to 3. Stand for the group. Part 2, clauses 4 to 12. Stand for the group. Part 3, clause 13. Stand for the group. Part 4, clauses 14 to 24. Stand for the group. Part 5, clauses 25 to 26. Stand for the group. Part 6, clause 27. Stand by the bill. Part 7, clause 28. Stand by the bill. Part 8, clause 29. And 30. Stand by the bill. Part 9, clauses 31 to 34. Stand by the bill. The long title, stand by the bill. For an act to amend the Environmental Protection Treaty Act 2014, making it a requirement to seek the written consent of the Development and Planning Committee before stopping a tree that is not subject to a tree preservation order, send a copy of the application for consent to the Minister, and to also make it an offence to willfully damage or destroy a tree that is not subject to an order. Clauses 1 and 2, stand by the bill. Clause 3, the Honourable Minister mentioned in the second reading of the bill that a very minor amendment has been circulated to clause 3.3. Is the amendment agreed to? And so, clause 3, as amended, stand by the bill. The long title.
Environmental Protection Treaty Amendment Bill 2019 and the Trans-Frontier Television Council of Europe 2019 has been considered in committee and agreed to with a minor amendment, one of them, and I now move to with a third time and half. I now put a question, which is that the Environmental Protection Treaty Amendment Bill 2019 and the Trans-Frontier Television Council of Europe 2019 be read a third time and half. So the tender. Once again, carried. A bill for an act to amend the Income Tax Act 2010. We have the honor to move a bill for an act to amend the Income Tax Act 2010 be read a first time. Mr. Speaker, that might be a convenient moment for me to move on to the House to adjourn. And to wish all honourable members an enjoyable what is left of the summer. With the warning that it may be necessary for the House to come back before the adjourned date, which I'm going to close with you, the 3rd of September at 11 a.m. Tuesday, the 3rd of September at 11 a.m. And the warning is that you're going to be standing orders enabling the House to return at 4 notice because this is necessary. And given the quite varied political
House will now adjourn to Tuesday, the 3rd of September at 11 in the morning, the 80th anniversary of the declaration of the Second World War.